Boy, it's a wonderful day in the neighborhood. I like old Mr. Rogers and some of the things. I don't know about you, but when I'm recording this, this is Valentine's Day, a day that we need to express love. Love for one another, love for our spouses, love for the world, love for Jesus. I don't know about this word love anymore. Our society kind of butchered that word. But anyhow, it is a wonderful time of the year. People do take time to be thoughtful to one another, and I think that's probably the beauty of the Valentine's spirit. But I, like other people, sometimes I have challenges in the day, and sometimes somebody will light my bic, or flick my bic, as used to say years ago. And I kind of had one of those days today. Nothing tragic or anything like that, but we had somebody come to the house today to do some work on the house, and he was supposed to call before he came, and he got here, and he said that he blew the horn over at the gate. Now, I didn't hear no horn, but anyhow, he proceeded to come in. He went and undid the gate, and I just happened to go up to the coffee pot, and I was getting my coffee, and I looked down, and the gate was wide open. And I thought, well, maybe my grandson went to work early, and so I got the clicker, and I tried to close the gate. The gate wouldn't close. I says, oh, man, what's going on? So I looked out, and sure enough, the arms that operate the electric gate was laying on the ground. I went out back. Sure enough, the guy that was supposed to come and do some work, he was here. Boy, oh boy. And I said some words to him, and I got passionate about it, I guess. But I didn't want to let it set the tone of the day, because Judy had her PET scan today. So we had to go over to Tallahassee. Well, I digress, and you don't hear you need to. But I, like you, have challenges sometimes, and not everybody is loving and caring and different things like that. But I was thinking about wisdom. Wisdom to live beautifully. That's what I want to do. Live beautifully. I don't want no challenges. I don't want no ups and downs. I want just to have things hunky-dory, so to speak. So I was thinking about that today. And I think all of us experience days when we wish we were just a little wiser, handling tricky things, maybe, and working and able to handle it, or maybe even a tricky email or something like that. And, you know, what should I do when and I got a child that keeps misbehaving? Thank God we only have grandchildren now, but we have grandchildren sometimes that misbehave. Well, whether it's making a decision at work or dealing with personal trials, time and time and time again, I think we all experience the pressing need for wisdom. Oh yeah, we can read books and we can consult with others, take classes on wisdom, hoping to gain some useful advice and how to manage our lives and relationships better without maybe stress. But while we acquire this knowledge, it's helpful. And often we find something lacking after we got all this knowledge. We need more wisdom than the world can offer. We need the wisdom that only God provides. So where can we find this wisdom, preacher? Well, the scriptures tell us that it begins with the fear of the Lord. Psalm 111 and Proverbs chapter 1 talks all about it. And you think, well, fear of the Lord, I'm not afraid of the Lord. No, you've heard me say it before. I think the word fear there in that case should be translated love of the Lord. To fear God is to revere Him. And that's the better understanding of that word fear when they use it that way. It's in reverence and awe to honor His majesty and holiness. Now, I think we can understand why acquiring wisdom begins here. When we discover what true wisdom looks like, it's God's wisdom. Jesus' half-brother James, in chapter 3, verse 7, lists seven marks of the wisdom that God provides. He says it's pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial, and sincere. The wisdom that all believers in Jesus should seek, connected with the Christ-like character, a Christ-like nature. It's the fruit of someone who walks with God, choosing to live in an upright and obedient way. In short, it's choosing life the way it should be done. It's resulting of someone who fears God or loves God. I don't know, sometimes I think God looks down and says, well, you know, you say you love me and everything, and you're my Christ, you're a Christ follower, but sometimes you don't represent me very good. No, I'm sure he thinks about that, but he is so full of grace and mercy, he lets us know that how we can navigate through this thing called life, making decisions that will bring honor to God and benefit others. James also goes on to say, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. James chapter 1, verse 5 in the New Living Translation. So, our generous God will help you fear him so that you may gain wisdom and live wisely. Well, I hope and pray that maybe my little rambling helped you a little bit in thinking, because me as a preacher and that doesn't mean everything goes perfectly in my life. I would like to think it does, and sometimes I get, I call it being passionate. And sometimes my tone of voice changes, and Judy is there correcting me at times. And I said, I'm not mad, I'm just passionate. Well, she says your tone of voice come across. Well, so I got to pray. God, help me be a better human being and able to handle situations different and to learn to live beautifully. We can all get something from that, I think. So anyhow, we have this little segment, we always close it about our prayers, and we have a lot of people that's on our prayer list and so forth, and there's always a lot that we hear about, and we say, you know, I often wondered about this when we tell somebody, say, well, I'll pray for you, and then we forget to do it. But I'm thinking that God is so faithful that when you say you're going to pray for somebody, he hears it right then and there. So if you forget after you tell that, God knows your heart. And the biggest thing to do is to learn to talk to God for yourself. And it's good to pray for other people and intercessory prayer and all that. But it's really, better if you talk to God yourself. And guess what? He wants to talk to you. So you just need to open the door. You can sit on a park bench, drive down the road, talk to yourself, talk to God. Because he hears and he knows your heart. So with that, we just say, Lord, press a special prayer of intercession for all of the people that we know about that's on the list and different things, but also challenge people to know that they can come directly to you because of what Jesus did on the cross. When he gave up the ghost, the veil in the temple was rent in two. See, in those days, the temple, especially the Holy of Holies in part of the temple, only the priests could go in. They would sacrifice animals, and the priests would take your request to God in and different things. You don't need that intercessor anymore. You have the perfect intercessor. Because when Jesus gave up the ghost, that veil was rent in two, signifying that we, every believer, has access to the throne of grace. Isn't that wonderful? And Jesus gave us a prayer to use as a model prayer for all of our prayers as we pray it together. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy be done in earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. You know, Jesus defeated the evil one, and we need to claim that glory. That's why we pray to God, deliver us from that evil one, Lord. Well, I hope and pray you had a good day, and thank you for letting me ramble today.